The launch of ChatGPT was certainly a great eye-opener for many people. And I think it's excellent that this has happened because people have realized how you can ask questions and get information in a completely different way that you were used to.
Hello and welcome to Corporate Social Impact Insights. I'm Siddharth Chatterjee from the AVPN Academy team, and this is a series where we interview experts and leaders to learn about how we can amplify our contribution as practitioners in the corporate social impact space. Our conversation today is on leveraging data to achieve your impact goals. For this, we're joined by two members of the Remarkable Impact Intelligence team, which leverages AI to help organizations achieve their ambitious impact goals. We are joined by Nico Mosgaard, co-founder and partner, and Gulis Koldash, program manager at Impact Intelligence. In this conversation, we spoke about broad ways in which data and AI tools can generate key insights in impact. After that, Nico and Gulis dug into some specific case studies from their experience working with organizations. Among these is AVPN's map of capital deployment among our members, which we are working on with Impact Intelligence right now. This is our first foray into using data tools and insights at this scale, and we're excited to share more about this when we launch later this year. Finally, in our conversation, we address the attitude of curiosity and experimentation that is key to making use of these rapidly evolving technologies in order to amplify the work that we're already doing in impact. All in all, this was an incredible learning experience for me, and I hope you will gain a lot from this conversation too. Let's get into it. Hi, Nico. Hi, Gulis. It is so amazing to have both of you joining us today. To get us started, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do at Impact Intelligence?
First of all, thank you very much for inviting us. My name is Nico Mosgaard. I'm from Denmark, a small country where sustainability is in the DNA. So it's something that's come naturally for me to work on and think about in life in general. I spent 25 years of my first part of my career in corporate, working in large organizations, working in Copenhagen, where I'm from, also in London, in Houston, in the US, and then I came to Asia in 2006 and been based in Hong Kong and Shanghai since then. It's been very interesting to see over the years all these challenges that industrialization has brought with it. I think especially since the UN SDGs were launched in 2015, it became quite clear that a lot of different stakeholders were really looking for answers to all the questions that came up. What are the problems? Where are the problems? How can we get involved? Are there solutions? Often I would see intelligence that was of not so impressive, so to speak, but once in a while, something exceptional will come around. And one of those times was when I met our co-founder, Impact Intelligence. He's been working with AI and text analytics since back when it was called big data. We're talking almost 15 years ago. So when I realized what is possible to work with very large volumes of data, and all the demands for insights within around sustainability, we felt we had to do something. And that's why we started the company.
That's incredible.
I would love to introduce my colleague, Gulis, who's also with us today. So I'll pass over to her.
Thank you, Nico. So I'm Gulis. I'm a physicist by training. But at some point in my academic career, I realized I wanted to help solve the bigger and more urgent issues of the world. And that's when I met with Impact Intelligence, and I would say even find my calling. And since then, I've been working with Impact, and right now I'm a program manager, where I mainly deal with the development of our continuous monitoring tools.
Thanks, Gulis. One thing I was curious about was the kinds of organizations that Impact Intelligence works with. So I know, Nico, you mentioned it a little bit, but Gulis, could you go into a little bit more, who are the organizations you help, and maybe briefly the outcomes that you help them achieve?
We really cannot pinpoint a few specific organization types. It's really a wide range of organizations that we work with, because the solutions we provide are not sector specific or organization specific. We work with IGOs, corporates, NGOs, foundations, and think tanks. So it's really not limited.
Yeah, so a wide spectrum. That's amazing. So our topic for today is quite grand: demystifying data, how to leverage data to achieve impact goals. And my question really is that how can organizations kind of leverage the data that they have, the data that's publicly available, to accelerate towards the impact goals that they have? You know, what are the broad ways that they can do so? What are the granular details? But maybe getting started from the broad overview, what are the ways in which data can be used for impact?
So there are like different shapes and forms you can put and categorize how to use data. You can give specific solutions, but I think that really puts us in a box and really limits our thinking. So if you go from an umbrella overview, I think the main categories would be: you have a large volume of data. You are either trying to find the specific information that you're interested in from this data. So it's like the needles in the haystack, or you are trying to see the patterns in this big data. So this would be like going to a higher ground and looking at the haystack underneath and seeing that it actually spells a word. So I would say in terms of the broad categories, these two would be it.
Great. And I think, Nico, you'd mentioned earlier, this is kind of the bottom up or the top down approach. So you can get either a view of a vast kind of amount of data from a bird's eye perspective, or you can go really granular with it.
And things have evolved so fast in the space that we are in. It used to be kind of very keywords based, where you would only find exactly what you were trying to find. But especially with this, let's say, helicopter view, where you're actually able to read and analyze tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of, it could be news articles, or it could be academic research papers, or it could be transcripts from interviews with social entrepreneurs or other stakeholders. You know, you can really let the insights surface themselves and start putting things, mapping things into different themes. What is really powerful is that when you're working with specific data, either things you have within your organization or things in the public space, you can take the very broad picture of what's going on in a large volume of data. But then if you want to drill down into something very specific, you can actually go all the way down to a specific article or a specific statement within, for example, an interview transcript, and pinpoint exactly where these things are coming from. That's very powerful. And that's where great insights are coming from.
Right. So that's really interesting, because what that means is also while going broad, you can also have the option of getting more specific. And as the technology develops, it's possible for us to really see the whole gamut of possibilities and really hone in. And I think that's really interesting. I think it would help a lot to get a better sense of the specific use cases as well that you've seen. So what are some of the ways that organizations have used these capabilities in their impact work?
I think if we start with the data that is probably closest to people's own organization, things they have within, you can say simple analysis of transcripts of different kinds. So we have one of the great organizations we're working with is the Bayer Foundation. One of their programs that they run is the Women Empowerment Program. They started in Africa first as their focus area, where they would have more than 500 female entrepreneurs that were applying for their program, Women Empowerment Award. There were, I think at that time, five winners that would get into the program and get support and recognition and so forth. But Bayer Foundation felt that it was really a shame with all the, let's say, 495 others, wonderful social entrepreneurs that are working very hard every day to make positive impact, that all the efforts they have spent on applying and sharing challenges and ideas and so forth, that this was just put into a digital or even physical drawer. So they wanted to say, we have all this information, people have spent time, we want to surface insights and learn from all these people. But it's very hard to read through all this. In 2023, last year, they expanded this initiative to cover all of the Global South, and there were more than 1,000 applicants. And really looking, reading through, all these and extracting insights is very useful. So that is a good example of data that you have within where you simply don't have resources to go through it. But with text analytics tools, you can actually find out what's going on. And this can help you in your strategic discussions and decision-making as well. When you really understand, are there things that we should include or things we don't need to do and so forth in our programs. Let me give an example of during COVID, we had a large pharma company that had to make some decisions around vaccine hesitancy. They could not sit and wait because things were really urgent and needed to happen fast. So they had lots of data, reports, interviews, and all kinds of things related to vaccine hesitancy. And they wanted to understand what were being discussed, what were the critical things, and what recommendations were giving in all this data. They handed it to us in a data lake, so to speak, and we processed that in a very short amount of time to understand what was going on. And that's another example of how you very quickly can get a deep understanding of what's going on and take some quick actions. Then on an ongoing basis, if you are interviewing your stakeholders, if you're an impact investor that wants to hear how things are going with your investees, you can benefit from running regular calls and interviews to find out what's going on. And if you do that in a fairly large scale, then this will also take time to read through. You will get very precise insights and overview if you run that through text analytics tools as well.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And one thing that it makes me think about is this is a way of using or getting more impact or doing more impactful stuff out of the data that's already coming into your organization and that's already there. But without the technology, either the manpower resources or the speed at which you need that information, it's not really possible. What these technologies allow us to do is for far fewer costs and in much quicker time, actually get a sense of the data that we already have. And that's a really powerful tool. And thanks so much for sharing those examples. I think there's a lot of excitement around this space and the tools that we have, but that can also be a bit overwhelming for organizations because there's so many potential use cases that jump to mind when we look at these tools and what they're capable of. So maybe we pivot a little bit this conversation to talk about how do organizations actually get started. So you see the value of this approach, but what are the first steps that you can take to be using your data more intelligently?
Very good question. The launch of ChatGPT was certainly a great eye-opener for many people. And I think it's excellent that this has happened because people have realized how you can ask questions and get information in a completely different way that you were used to. What we would suggest is really don't try and create the perfect encompass all tool at the beginning. There is still some hesitancy from maybe certain parts of your organizations or people in your organization. If you take some baby steps, if you try to understand what are things we are doing already within our organizations, but we are doing in a pretty manual way, things that we would like to do more, do on a bigger scale, do more frequently. This is definitely an area where you could look at doing a small pilot project for fairly limited resources and get yourself started. During a pilot project, whether it's running over a month or several months, you know, the way we like to work is in an iterative process where we have some meetings every week or every 2 weeks with the people we work with. And during those meetings, we of course go over progress and how we're moving along, but it's also a very good chance to discuss different things and we can try and answer questions that arise along the way as people get more familiar. And it's wonderful to see the outcome of these pilots where people all of a sudden have a completely different understanding of what is doable. And we see the people that we work with start becoming ambassadors in organizations. And that's very powerful. And things evolve from there. That's starting with baby steps is definitely and doing some kind of pilots. Identify things that you're already familiar with, processes that are in place that could be digitalized. That's a very good way to start.
Right. And it's great that you mentioned, I think, the attitude around it, because it's not about getting a holistic solution or knowing exactly what's going to happen or how you're going to use this technology, but really experimenting and starting with something small and piloting. And of course, that's also very close to home for us, because at AVPN, we've been working with Impact Intelligence on a member monitor. And Gulis, I know you're very closely involved with that work. So could you tell us a little bit about how the AVPN member monitor is an example of taking this first steps and piloting something?
Yes, definitely. So it's really great example of showcasing how you start experimenting with baby steps, because it started when we were talking about data and what are the data challenges in AVPN. And there were some studies done trying to figure out in the news what are the different activities of the members that they're seeing, and mapping, trying to map out to impact ecosystem in Asia Pacific. But this was super time consuming to do. And at some point, the human resources were not enough, but this was still an idea that they wanted to move forward. So in our collaboration with AVPN, we started a pilot project trying to map out and extract specific member activities in the impact space in Asia Pacific. And through a few months running this pilot, we would meet bi-weekly. We would discuss different parts, what are the specifics they wanted. And first, we wanted to understand what is the process they took. And then we tried to automate this process. And then we, through our discussions, we improved this process, implemented some changes that we would think that would work better, really fine-tuning the output. And now, when you look at what we have done in the pilots, there's more than 1.5 million of news articles mentioning the AVPN members in relation to some context keywords to impact and investments. And if just one person tries to read through all of this 1.5 million news articles, and let's say you spend 1 minute on each article, this would take more than 14 years of full-time work to just go through the data from a year, which is, well, technically possible, but really not possible to do. So, but this is something we were able to automate and get insights way quicker. Now we are able to actually provide this analysis monthly so that you have a more frequent input coming through, and we are able to go through a bigger sphere of news articles than a person would. So we have a bigger coverage as well while doing this. So we are one step closer to actually map out the activities of AVPN members in the impact ecosystem in Asia Pacific with this.
Right. And thank you so much for helping us with that. I think echoing kind of AVPN's internal perspective, I would say that we are a very experimental organization in many ways, and we are trying to innovate a lot. So for us to actually take this pilot with Impact Intelligence, I think it's been quite remarkable how much we have learned through the process of doing this, and how it has made us aware of the possibilities, even for an organization like ours, which is not really that technically oriented, and all the things that we can do. So we're really excited, and it has definitely had the effect of bringing more of the organization, making it aware of the possibilities and making us excited about what we can do next. The member monitor is something that we will be sharing a lot more in the coming few months. So if you're listening to this, do stay tuned. We're excited for what we're developing with Impact Intelligence there. Another really quick thought on this idea of using publicly available data. I think it also has made us aware at AVPN of something that has been in the conversation for a while, but the importance of working together as an ecosystem. So whatever problems you're solving as a social investor, we can't do that alone. And we need to see what everyone else in the ecosystem is doing and how we can collaborate with each other, not duplicate efforts if they're not useful, and basically just get a sense of the progress that we're making. So I think it has made us a lot more aware of how important it is to be sharing the work that you're doing and learning from the other organizations in the space that you're operating in.
That's a very good point, Sid. One thing to mention in that respect is it's not a discussion about can AI tools take over your work. and you can stop what you're doing. Not at all. It's actually about taking all the experience, all the knowledge that we have as experts in the field and using that, but amplifying all this data that is there and trying to understand it. So there's a big quantitative component, but the qualitative part is equally important. We in our organization, we cannot be domain experts in everything, no matter how passionate we are about people and planet. We continue to learn, but it's a great learning for us to work with experts in different areas. But when we take a look at these large volumes of data, it's kind of, there's some truth to the notice about numbers don't lie. If we look at large volumes of data and we see patterns, we see different things happening. When we verify these things with experts on the ground, with people from academia, with people from industry, then we always see a lot of correlation. There might be things that we surface that has not been thought about before, and that is the beauty of it. There might also be things that we don't see from the data that is highlighted from people on the ground. So when you do these kind of, call it the triangulations between the data and work from different sites, it makes it very powerful, right? So just wanted to highlight that. We have worked on projects that covers more than 100 countries in the global south, more than 10 different languages. You know, there are things you simply cannot read through. I think we spent, please correct me if I'm wrong, but more than 1.5 months of cloud processing time to run all the data, right?
It's learning more than 2 months.
More than 2 months. Thank you very much. Even more. You simply cannot do it manually, but combining AI and humans is very, very powerful.
Right. And that's a really important perspective, I think, for us to realize, because it's that AI helps experts and organizations amplify the work that they're already doing. It's something that works really well in concert with the work that individuals are doing. It's not a substitute for human expertise and organizations of individuals who are finding ways to be impactful. As we're coming towards the end of this conversation, it's a good point for me to ask you if you have, in general, any thoughts for our community of impact practitioners on how they can leverage their data better, accelerate towards their impact goals. So maybe Nico first and then Gulis.
Yeah, I think as I mentioned briefly earlier, it's not about going from zero to hero. Really try and think about taking some baby steps, try it out, do a small pilot, get familiar, learn. It's always an eye opener and things move on from there. So rather than waiting, just get going, but with something you feel you can manage and something you can get the right buy-in for.
And just to echo and add to what Nico said, you really also don't have the time to go from zero to hero, because these things take a lot of time to build the knowledge, build the product, and the field is growing exponentially every day. It's quite rapid. So I think it's more important to being agile on this and starting, like Nico said, with baby steps, just go in and then keep improving while the field is improving.
Thank you so much. And I think that attitude of experimentation and agility is something that the Impact Intelligence team really embodies really well. And it is so important for us to be curious in that way as we're working on these problems and we're making use of the tools that are developing really fast, as you said. Another final question. So a final question. Do you have any materials or links, anything that you'd encourage our listeners to check out, maybe to learn more about the space or the work that you're doing?
I think like a good way to get introduced to some of these considerations and thoughts around using AI, there's a pretty good book called All In on AI by Tom Davenport and Nitin Mittal. Even though we are working with this and there was not a lot of maybe new things, I found it quite interesting and definitely something I recommend to people that are ready to take these baby steps or maybe just curious, and hopefully they will be ready to take some baby steps when they understand a little bit more after reading this as a primer.
That's great. We'll also be sure to share Impact Intelligence's website and any public case studies that you have. So I will put that in the description along with All In on AI, the book. So thanks so much for sharing that.
I'm just thinking of something I heard not long ago, which I really like. There's a lot of discussion about AI and how it will some horror scenarios and all these things. I think we need to be aware, and there's definitely things around regulations and how it can be used in the wrong way. But I think there's so many positive applications where AI can be used. I think relating to what has happened in different types of games, you saw that AI could beat human. But I think if you think about how human plus AI can collaborate and work together, then I think actually human plus AI will beat the AI anytime. So that's worth keeping in mind, right? When we're looking at things that are related to impact and sustainability, if we can speed things up, if we can do things better, do more, then why not jump into it and learn and move forward, because everybody else seems to be in the corporate world.
Absolutely. That's a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Gules. Thank you so much, Nico. This has been a true pleasure. I've learned a lot and really excited to see the work that you're doing in this space and excited to see what comes up next. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having us. Pleasure.
Corporate Social Impact Insights is part of the AVPN Academy Corporate Social Impact Center, which is established in partnership with Johnson & Johnson, Miller Trust, and Visa. The center also includes self-paced modules, a library of content, and learning circles, which are a monthly series of small group discussions for corporate practitioners. Learn more at academy.avpn.asia. This is a monthly podcast series, and we hope you will tune in for another episode soon. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.